You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Friday, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Balls, your team every day. It's game day. It's Friday, so that means it should be a good day as Tennessee gets going in the NCAA tournament later this afternoon, 4:30 Eastern Time, TNT. The 5th-seeded Volunteers going up against the 12th-seeded Oregon State Beavers. I'm Eric Kane, your host here of Locked On Vols, and today we're going to be talking all basketball to get you set for what is day one of the most exciting time of the year for many, and that is NCAA Tournament March Madness time. We're going to preview Oregon State, Tennessee, that matchup in segment number one, give you some notes from both sides as we head on into this matchup. Tennessee, I believe, a 7.5-point favorite per betonline.ag. You can check that for me if I'm wrong or if it's moved since the time of this recording. Tennessee, a heavy favorite in this one, but it's not going to be a slouch as the Beavers are the Pac-12 champions. So we're going to preview this matchup in segment number one. In segment number two, our Friday guest, really excited to bring Bert Bertelkamp on to the podcast. If you're a Tennessee fan listening right now, you guys know who Bert is. You guys listen to Bert and Bob on the Vol Radio Network calls each and every time Tennessee takes to the court. You know what that catchphrase, money, means. And so Bert Bertelkamp is going to come onto the podcast in segment number two. Thrilled to have Bert here. I appreciate him for taking the time. And in segment number three, I am going to, for what it's worth, maybe not much by many. I do understand that, but I'm going to talk about my bracket a little bit, and I want to hear about your bracket and encourage you guys to go to the show notes, click on our bracket challenge. The link is in the show notes, and if you're listening to this podcast before tournament play tips off early Friday, if you're listening to this podcast on Friday morning and you haven't signed up for our bracket challenge yet, I encourage you to go check the show notes, click on that link, and join our Locked On Podcast Network listener bracket challenge. So I'm going to talk about my bracket a little bit in segment number three and tell you guys how far I have Tennessee going and kind of why I have some teams going the way it does. I know a lot of people might not care, but hey, I want to hear about yours as well. But that's kind of the rundown here for today. But the bulk of it's going to be Tennessee and Bertelkamp. Locked On Vols, at Locked On Vols on Twitter. Guys, if you're not following me on Twitter on this Locked On Vols, I encourage you to do so. Pushing out great content, audiograms, graphic tweets, just some stuff on there, you know, every single day. And links, of course, to the podcast each and every day. You can also find me on Twitter at _Kaner. Don't forget, we'll have Twitter Tuesday coming back up. So as Tennessee plays this weekend, whether it be one game or two games, get in your questions for Twitter Tuesday at Eric at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. Your questions about the start of spring football practice, the COVID lockdown for the Tennessee football team, pro day coming up, all that and more on Twitter as well. Let's get into it. This is a Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Oregon State is the matchup for the Volunteers here in this one. You got the 12th-seeded Beavers, the 5th-seeded Volunteers. Oregon State 17-12 on the season, won the Pac-12 tournament for the first time in history to earn an automatic bid into the NCAA tournament. In doing so, the Beavers took down top 25 teams in back-to-back nights, took down number 25 Oregon, number 23 Colorado, and played some impressive ball in that tournament. Ethan Thompson, he is the leader for Oregon State. You guys know that name by now if you've been kind of studying this matchup. Ethan Thompson, he is a first-team All Pac-12 recipient. He holds the Oregon State record with 123 career starts. Zach Wrinkle leads the team with an assist-to-turnover ratio at 2.18. Worth Alshelish. Now, you're laughing right now because I can't pronounce names. This starting lineup for Oregon State's got some doozies of names, and when you guys watch the game later today, you'll know what I'm talking about. Let me try this again. We've got Worth Alshelish. He became the first ever Oregon State player to be named the Pac-12 Tournament Most Outstanding Player, so he's playing hot right now. Also another guard, combo guard, Jared Lucas. He's 12th in the nation in free throw percentage at 89%. And Maurice Kalu scored 15 points in the Pac-12 Tournament Championship game. He scored 10 points in the previous 8 contests as well. So you've got two players that score over 10 points in the starting lineup for Oregon State. And Ethan Thompson, Jared Lucas, of course, backcourt heavy in the guard play. You also have Worth Alshelish, who, again, I'm stumbling over his name, but he's in the front court. He averages 9.9 points a game, 8.5 rebounds. So Tennessee will have their hands full with him in the front court with E. Pons, maybe John Fulkerson if he plays. Some other front court players for Tennessee will have to body up against him as well. Oregon State has not won a game in the NCAA tournament since March 18th of 1982. It's making only its 18th appearance in the NCAA tournament. It's first since 2016. It's second since the 1990 season. Oregon State 12-20 all-time in NCAA tournament games. It played in two Final Fours, but that's been quite some time ago, 1949 and 1963. So a little bit about the Beavers and Oregon State. Again, it's got a 17-12 record, a 10-10 Pac-12 record. Of course, you know, had to get 500 just by winning three in that tournament to get the automatic bid. As I mentioned a couple podcasts ago, it has a 3-0 record in neutral site games. That's important because, of course, this will be a neutral site game at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's coached by Wayne Tinkle, and Oregon State is standing in the way of Tennessee potentially moving on in this tournament. Victor Bailey Jr. is a guy that has played Oregon State's four times in his career. Of course, Victor Bailey Jr. used to be at Oregon. He's averaged over 7 points and nearly two steals a contest in those four games against Oregon State. And you have a Tennessee assistant, Kim English, who was an assistant coach at Colorado from 2017 to 2019. He had the self-scout for Oregon State and schemed up some nice plays and that game plan for the Buffs to win in the 2019 Pac-12 tournament over Oregon State. Tennessee and Oregon State, you know, hadn't really played a whole lot of the same opponents, obviously, from the Pac-12 to the SEC, but they both have played Colorado. Tennessee took down Colorado, I think it was like 55-47, way back at the beginning of the season, 56-47, way back at the beginning of the season on December the 8th. Oregon State lost twice to Colorado during the regular season, but defeated the Buffaloes in the Pac-12 championship 70-68. Tennessee's 1-3 all time against Oregon State, but again, haven't played the Beavers since 1990. This is a game where Tennessee's bigger, faster, stronger. It's the it's a overwhelming favorite for a reason. Tennessee the 5 seed, Oregon State the 12 seed. But again, as we know, if Tennessee's offense just doesn't show up, you know, who knows how this game can go. But I'm picking Tennessee to win, probably Tennessee to cover at the 7.5 if that's where that window closes. So Tennessee, 4:30, the round of 64 game, first round tournament's action, 4:30 Eastern time. TNT is where the television broadcast will be, and the Vol Radio Network will have the call at your local affiliate. Speaking of the Vol Radio Network, color analyst, money, that guy, Burt Bottlecamp, he's going to join the podcast coming up in segment number two to preview this game, and really, really looking forward to that. So Burt Bottlecamp coming up here in segment number two. But before we get to it, Bet Online, a reminder, tournament play is opening. Really, it opened last night, but the round of 64 starts today, and Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to get on all your sports action. Football, let's not even think about football right now. It is March Madness. You're going to have so much basketball this weekend before that field shrinks down to 16 teams following Monday's action. So many games. Wherever you turn your television, you're going to get these games, and you can get in on that action at betonline.ag. Real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can possibly imagine. Head over to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today and receive 50% off and a welcoming bonus. They're going to give you money just for signing up the first time, and no better time to sign up for the first time at betonline.ag than right now. The round of 64 kicking off here on a Friday. They're going to give you money to play. All you have to do, use the promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code LOCKEDON for 50% off and a welcoming bonus on your first deposit. Make some money this weekend. Have a whole lot of fun. Go back and check out the podcast of Wednesday's show with Tyler Robbins. Get some of his picks, guys. I want you to succeed at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Don't go anywhere. Burt Bottlecamp coming up in literally 32 seconds from now. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help from all of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. And I got 7 seconds left. I want to be a man of my word. Here he is, Burt Bottlecamp. Really pleased to welcome to the podcast the color analyst on the Vol Radio Network for Tennessee basketball games. He's a VFL, and his name is Burt Bottlecamp. Burt, thanks so much for taking the time. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to head to Indianapolis for the for the tournament. It's an exciting time of year, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, thrilled to have you on. And it is an exciting time of the year. I mean, this is why you play the games. This is why you play those non-conference games, go through that grueling schedule in the SEC, and then ultimately now's the time to shine. It's a little bit different, obviously, with the COVID protocols and whatnot, but how are your thoughts about Tennessee, the way Tennessee's playing right now, entering the field of play coming up this weekend?
Well, we ended the season on a high note for sure. We won two big games against Florida, played well, looked like ourselves, played well against Alabama, just didn't have enough firepower. Alabama's a really good team. But unfortunately, we had the situation with John Fulkerson, and that's certainly unfortunate, him coming to the end of his career, possibly. Maybe he'll come back next year. I don't know. But I'm not sure if he's going to play or not. But you play all year to get in the NCAA tournament. Tennessee got a 5 seed, which is very good. And I expect him to play well in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I think Tennessee played encouraging basketball over the last week, two games against Florida, and then played well against Alabama, turned the basketball over too many times in the second half, obviously blew that lead, but nonetheless playing better and encouraging basketball. But you brought him up there, John Fulkerson. If John Fulkerson is not able to go on Friday, and if Tennessee wins potentially on Sunday, I think Tennessee's shown that it can get by without him, but obviously that's a big experience loss for Rick Barnes and the Tennessee basketball team.
Yeah, in more ways than one. I mean, he's a team leader, I think, is one of the main assets that you lose. When John's not on the court, of course, he'll be on the sidelines cheering for him. But he's an energetic player. He plays with intensity. He's a good rebounder. He's a good scorer in the post. He gives us a post presence. And he's a veteran. He's been there. He knows how to play. And so that's a big loss if he can't play. And I've just got my fingers crossed that he's going to be able to play. He's a fine young man, and he deserves to get a chance to play in this NCAA tournament.
Bird, if Fulkerson is unable to go, how important will it be for Keon Johnson, who I think stepped up on the boards, Josiah Jordan-James, who's been all over the boards all season long, Eve Pons, to step up, get those rebounds, and really to try to create some second-chance opportunities for Tennessee? Because John Fulkerson, I mean, he's 6'9". You take him out of the equation for 25 to 30 minutes a night, that's a lot of rebounds you're not getting, and it's up to the rest of the ensemble cast to kind of make up that difference.
I think that's a key, rebounding. It's been a key all season. When we out-rebound a team and we keep them off the offensive glass, we're usually successful. So you're right, Josiah James has been a tremendous rebounder. But the rest of the team, Vescovi, Springer, Johnson, Pons, Plosich, if he's in the game, Kumwa, all of them, they have to rebound as a team. They have to gang rebound. And there's a lot of three-pointers shot, and that usually results in a lot of long rebounds, and our guards have got to be ready to pick off their share of those rebounds. And a key in the NCAA is 50-50 balls. Who's going to get the loose balls? Who's playing with more intensity? We have the capability to play that way. We're quick. We've got length. We've got athleticism, and they have to use that to their advantage and try to win the battle of the boards. And offensive rebounds are very important, so obviously somebody has to be back on defense. But I think we need to have three or four guys crashing the offensive glass looking for those putbacks. That's a big part of the game. So I think it's a key. I think rebounding is definitely a key.
VFL Burt Bertelkamp joining us here on Locked On Vols. He's a part of the Vol Radio Network, the right-hand man to Bob Kessling. You hear him on the radio dials each and every time Tennessee basketball takes to the floor. And Bert, Oregon State, that matchup coming up later this afternoon, first-round action, and it's a team that had to get hot to get in the tournament. Won the Pac-12, and you can't diminish that. It's a team that is not overly offensive-heavy, but nonetheless playing good basketball right now. It's guard-heavy. What does Tennessee need to do to kind of slow down that momentum and, get out of today with a win and move on to Sunday, potentially against Oklahoma State or Liberty?
Well, we certainly got to defend. They've got a key player, Ethan Thompson, who averages 15, and we got to contain him. Obviously, they finished the season strong, winning the Pac-12 tournament, beating UCLA, Oregon, and Colorado, three really good basketball teams. And so they're a team with a lot of confidence right now that come into the tournament as the champion of their league. So they got to feel good about themselves. I think the key is we've got to defend like we're capable of defending. I think our league is probably more physical than the Pac-12. I haven't seen Oregon State play. I've read a little bit about them, but they've got some veterans on their team. Thompson is a veteran, and he's a very good player. So we've got to hit shots, though. That's a big key for us. You know, and it's key for everybody. But when we make shots, it makes the rest of our game better, and then we can really defend. So I think they got to play as a team. We've got to have production from really everybody. Nobody can just not show up. We got to have production from the whole team. Two or three players can't carry the team. Everybody's got to do their part, and I think we'll be fine against Oregon State.
You know, Bert, you're around this team more than, you know, anybody, and I know some of the access has been taken away in terms of, you know, maybe going into the locker room and all that, or maybe courtside. You have to be spaced out a little bit because of this era of COVID. But, you know, how is this group of guys being up close and personal? Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, and, of course, the veterans, Eve Pons and John Fulkerson. How's the chemistry, and, you know, how is it being around this group of guys this go-around compared to some of the other teams you've been around?
Well, it's a tough question to answer because we've been totally isolated from them. I mean, the closest we've been to them is post-game interviews via Zoom. So I've not had a chance to get to know the new players, Springer and Johnson, other than interviewing them. And they're both sharp young men. They're yes sir, no sir, really intelligent, really good kids. And I think that I've been to some practices, and you can tell that these guys like each other. They have good chemistry. It shows on the court because they're willing to share the ball. There's not a selfish player on the team. They're all about the team. So I think they get along great. I think it's a great group of young men, and I wish them the best in the tournament because they've had an up and down season, and they've got to be more consistent. And I think it starts with the effort and just playing as a team. And I expect them to do that. They've done it most of the year, but they've had some spots where they couldn't score, and I think offense is the biggest key to eliminating that inconsistency. If they can make some shots, I think it'll pick up the rest of the game.
Yeah, a couple more and we'll get you out the door here. You know, a lot of people high praise to the Tennessee basketball team coming into the season. You know, some outlets, you know, claiming for Final Four, and obviously it's so hard to project in tournament basketball because it's about the matchups, it's about who's hot and who's not and all that, but nonetheless, I think it's been a bit of a rocky road. Up, down, consistency has been a theme for this team, or a lack thereof, rather. But all it takes is one run. And in your opinion, with the group that Rick Barnes has right here and what you've seen from them at the high points this year, and how dangerous could this Tennessee basketball team be over the next couple of weeks if it's able to get its act together?
Well, they're a very talented team, no doubt about it. The first six or seven players are all very good and very capable. They've got balanced scoring, so anybody can have a big night, and most players are capable of double figures, and they just have to play that way. And they're certainly talented enough to go on a run and have a deep run into the tournament, but they've got to put the inconsistency behind them and look forward. And I think they did that toward the end of the year. I don't think, although they're disappointed they lost the Alabama game, Alabama's a two seed and won the league championship, and they played them toe-to-toe. You're right, the turnovers cost us, and we've got to take care of the basketball in the tournament because all the tournament teams are good, and they're going to be able to capitalize off your mistakes. So they got to play mistake-free and just play hard and shoot the ball well and defend and rebound and do all the things they're capable of doing. And I think they can have a deep run.
All right, Bert, we'll let you hit the road. I know that you've got a long day ahead of you and obviously a game to call later on. And I do want to ask, though, because of the protocols put into place, usually we see you and Bob and Tim Berry courtside. You guys get some cameo, a little FaceTime on the television. Where are you guys going to be set up courtside, or will there be a little bit of a different setup this go-around for the NCAA tournament right now?
Well, we will not be courtside. I'm not sure exactly where we'll be, but we'll be up in the stands, and they have us set up with a radio broadcast booth, but I'm not really sure what the layout is. But we definitely won't be courtside. We'll be up in the stands.
Nonetheless, it'll still be a good vantage point. You can hear Bob Kessling and our guy right here, Bert Borokamp, on the call, Vol Radio Network. A pregame coverage 30 minutes prior to tip-off, 4:30 Eastern time. It'll be Tennessee against Oregon State, the 5-12 matchup. Bert, thanks so much, man. Safe travels, and we're going to have you back on this podcast again. This was great stuff.
Okay, Eric. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Our guy Bert Borokamp is in Indianapolis right now calling the action for the Tennessee Volunteers in the NCAA tournament. It is March Madness time, and it's also March Madness time over at BillBar.com. Been telling you about the Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now, and it's amazingly low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You guys know about it right now, and we're trying to find out what is the best Built Bar. There's a bracket challenge. All you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com, cast your vote for which Built Bar will reign supreme when this is all said and done. Yesterday, if you remember, it was salted caramel against cookie dough chunk. Today, the matchup, caramel brownie against double chocolate. Caramel brownie against double chocolate to find out who advances on to the enticing eight. Again, that's the matchup for today. You can go to BuiltBar.com, cast your vote, or do it on Twitter at bar_built. When you're at BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Check back later today. See who won today's matchup as we move on to the enticing eight of the Built Bar Challenge next week. It's all at BuiltBar.com.
A final segment left here for Friday Locked On Vols. But first, are you ready for the NFL Draft? Join Locked On NFL Draft host Trevor Sekhema and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings analysis on 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guests, mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's been fun previewing this Oregon State matchup that's coming up later today on a Friday at 4:30 Eastern Time. If Tennessee wins, it will advance on to the round of 32. It will play sometime on Sunday, most likely against Oklahoma State, but it could be Liberty as well. But it's been a whole lot of fun to, talking Tennessee basketball, catching up with Burt Bertelkamp. I know you guys love Burt Bertelkamp. He is a Tennessee treasure, that is for sure, a VFL and a longtime analyst on the Vol Radio Network. So thank him so much for joining the show. Here in the last segment, guys, I just really want to hashtag flex, I guess is what you call it. I just want to tell you guys about my bracket. And I know that you, disclaimer, I get it. You hate bracket guy. And I can assure you, I'm not bracket guy. I work with a bracket guy. You heard from the guy I work with, this bracket guy, on this podcast this week. You know who I'm talking about. I'm not bracket guy. I'm just not. I'm a beat guy. I'm on the Tennessee beat. And so I'm Tennessee through and through. And so I'm not really bracket guy because I cover the ball so much, if that makes sense. But I do want to talk about my bracket and give you guys who my Final Four is and how far Tennessee will be going in the Midwest region, just in case you guys, care. And I want to see how mine stacks up against your brackets. And again, if you're listening to this Friday morning before the game starts, go to the show notes of this podcast, click on the link, and join our Locked On Podcast Network Listening Challenge. My bracket is in there. Put your bracket in there. There are hundreds of brackets from around the country in there. If your bracket wins or, you get the most correct games or points or whatever, there's something big in store for the listener that does just that. So that's all I'm going to say on that. But nonetheless, go check it out and join our bracket challenge. It's one of the best days of the year. It might be your best day of the year. It's day number two officially, but really day number one of the NCAA tournament. Guys, if you care, if you don't, you're not going to hurt me at all. But nonetheless, if you do care, my bracket looks like this. I am so conservative, it's not even funny. And that's why I'm not fun. That's why I'm not a bracket guy, because I am so conservative. I don't buy into the 5-12 hype, 5-12 high, 5-12 upset. Everyone's talking about Winthrop. The Winthrop is the hottest team on anyone's radar right now. So many people are taking Winthrop to beat Villanova. I'm not doing that. I think I have just a couple of double-digit seeds winning today, or winning in the first round. And that's where my bracket might differ from many other brackets. And that's why, that's kind of boring, and I get it. And March Madness is anything but boring. And so my bracket's going to be shredded by, probably noon today, 1 o'clock today. But nonetheless, that's a little early, probably 2, 3 o'clock today. But nonetheless, I am so conservative that I have 3 number one seeds and a number two seed in my Final Four. I know it's boring. It is what it is. But Gonzaga, coming from the West region, it's the number one overall seed in this tournament, an undefeated regular season, a conference tournament championship. Gonzaga's going all the way to the championship game for me from that West. Gonzaga, until someone, BYU gave him a run there in the conference tournament championship game, but Gonzaga has just been too good all year long. I've got Michigan coming out of the East, again, a number one seed. A lot of people are not high on Michigan right now. I'm not really understanding that. But I've got Michigan going through the Bonnies in round of 32. I do have the Bonnies upsetting LSU in round one. That's an SEC note. have Michigan taking down Florida State, the 4 seed in the Sweet 16. Michigan taking down Texas, who upset Alabama in the round of, or the Sweet 16. That's an SEC note as well. But I have Michigan taking down Texas in the Elite Eight and going on to face Gonzaga in the Final Four. Gonzaga beats Michigan. They're in my championship. You move on to the right side of the bracket up here at the top. I've got Baylor going all the way from the top in the South to the Elite Eight, where I have them playing Ohio State, who upset Texas Tech, or actually did not upset Texas Tech. I have Texas Tech upsetting Arkansas in the Sweet 16, a 6 beating a 3, moving on to play Ohio State in the Sweet 16, the second-seeded Buckeyes in my bracket, then take down Texas Tech to square off against Baylor in the Elite 8. So that's kind of up top. I have Ohio State, though. This is where my number one seed that doesn't get on the Final Four. I have Ohio State taking down Baylor in the Elite 8 and going on to the Final Four. And then that brings us to the Midwest, and this is where we'll end our show. I've got Illinois going all the way to the Final Four because I think Illinois is the best team in college basketball right now. The Big Ten champions, Iota Sumu, they've got so much talent and firepower on that team. I have Illinois taking down Oklahoma State in the Sweet 16 after Oklahoma State and Cade Cunningham get after the Vols in the round of 32 on Sunday. Guys, I hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong. There's nothing more that I want to do than cover a deep tournament run, and this team has the talent, that being Tennessee. But you can't fault me for taking the Vols as a second-round exit, really, throughout this season. I don't think you can fault me there. But that's where I stand right now. I would love to be wrong, and it has the potential, very much so, the potential to be wrong when it comes to Tennessee. So I have Illinois going all the way to the Final Four. Illinois will square off against West Virginia from the bottom half of my bracket in the Midwest. I have West Virginia taking down or really upsetting Houston in that 3-2 matchup in the bottom in the Sweet 16. West Virginia moves on, falls to Illinois. Illinois defeats Ohio State to go on to the championship game. And in my championship game, from the left side of the bracket, I have Gonzaga. From the right side of the bracket, I have Illinois. Gonzaga from the West, Illinois from the Midwest. And I have Illinois taking down Gonzaga, giving the Zags their first loss of the season in the national championship game. I believe I put my final score at 92-87. So that's my bracket. It will be in shreds midway through Friday afternoon. That's just how I have it. I've got Tennessee going to the round of 32 and falling to Oklahoma State in that 4-5 matchup Sunday afternoon. What does your bracket look like? Tweet me at _Kane or at Locked On Vols. Enter the tournament listening challenge for Locked On Vols. The link to that is in the show notes of this podcast. Guys, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for tuning in all week long. We got a big show coming up Monday. Not only will we recap all of Tennessee basketball from the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, hopefully continue on the basketball conversation next week, but we will also preview spring practice, give you the latest on the COVID situation with Tennessee football. Pro Day is coming up next week for Trey Smith and others. A big week coming up next week on Locked On Vols. We've got to have you back here every weekday morning when you wake up. You can have another episode of this podcast available for you. Guys, thanks so much. Thanks to Burt Bertelkamp. Have a great Friday and happy NCAA March Madness, everybody.